We've been following a character trait series. First one I dealt with was patience. I think we can all learn from that. I think I dealt with the patience one because that's one I can always use some work on. Temperance and self-control as well. That's important. We can all use self-control. Last week, we dealt with the character trait of honesty. That's certainly lacking in our country today. And this evening, it'll be part one of two. And this one is obedience. Obedience. When you use the term obedience today, most likely people think about obedience training of their dog. Because for the most part, obedience is a forgotten word in American culture relating to people. People are very humanistic and they do that which is right in their own eyes, and obedience doesn't even have much of a meaning to them. In fact, when obedience is demanded, I can see it. I can see it in the face of young people. I see it in the face of adults, but the hackles go up, the brows furrow, and rationalizations are spouted, and defiance is communicated either by physical, the way that you carry yourself, or even verbal. And you have to wonder why that is. I think that the primary reason behind obedience being a dirty word in our culture is that our culture has moved away from biblical-based values to humanistic values, where man's the measure of all things. Just a notation, there's 30 of these in the back on the table if you want to pick them up on the way out that deal with this. And so they've gone to the humanistic-based values, and for an increasing number of people, God's Word, the Bible, is no longer the authority. They look at it as a national Jewish scrapbook, or they look at it as an antiquated book of some sort or other. They don't view it as a book of having any authority. They don't look at it as a book being inspired by God. In fact, a lot of them only have a vague cosmological view of God, that he's some kind of a force instead of being an individual that needs to be known, an individual that needs to be obeyed. Today, individuals, even those who claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're their own authority. But I want to tell you what I note in our culture, and I think you note it too if we take a look at it. When the individual is his or her own authority, the culture begins to more and more degenerate into chaos. It goes from order to chaos, and that's where our culture is headed. There is a genuine undercurrent of anarchy fomenting in American society today. It's happening before our very eyes. Increasingly, people ignore and disobey God-given authority on whatever level, and we'll look at that God-given authority in those areas in a moment. Citizens are disobeying the laws of the land. I had a long conversation with a friend today, it happened to be that there was a domestic violence call, and there happened to be that the husband was sitting on top of the garage roof, and when the policemen arrived, they asked him to come down and talk to him, and he said, "No, I'm going to sit up here. I can talk to you up here." And they went back and forth and back and forth about it. Years ago, I don't believe that would have primarily happened. And so ultimately, they had to get him down from the garage, so they maced him, and then he rolled off the garage roof, and he hurt his his feet. Now, some people would say, why did they do that? Hey, look, there needs to be respect for civil authority. And we're going to be talking about that. Citizens aren't obeying the laws of the land. Wives are not obeying their husbands. Husbands are not obeying Christ. Children are not obeying parents. Parishioners are not obeying pastors. In fact, obedience is a character trait that is almost forgotten. It's almost forgotten, and yet it needs to be promoted and practiced in our families. It needs to be promoted and practiced in the church. needs to be promoted and practiced in the culture. Just about every place it needs to be promoted and practiced. And so I would presume that the place to start would be to give you a definition of obedience. Now, I was greatly assisted in developing this study by a little book that was printed in 1890. It's called A Primer of Ethics. A Primer of Ethics. A number of years back, David Barton reprinted it. It's only a little 127-page book. But this definition, out of all the definitions I looked, pretty well describes obedience in a concise way. The definition of obedience is this. Obedience is doing what is commanded or not doing what is forbidden because it is commanded or forbidden by one who has the authority. It's a pretty good definition. Let me read it to you again. Obedience is doing what is commanded or not doing what is forbidden because it is commanded or forbidden by one who has the authority. Now, let's look at the demand for obedience. Now, I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this because this is a two-part series. We're going to talk about areas of obedience this week, and then the next time I preach on it, I haven't decided what I'm going to do on Sunday evening on Palm Sunday, and that's next Sunday. But then we're going to be talking about the traits of obedience. But there are numerous circumstances in everyone's life, every single solitary person who's here. There's numerous circumstances in our life where we are under the obligation to obey. It's just as simple as that. And what is obedience? I'm going to go back to it again. Obedience is doing what is commanded or not doing what is forbidden because it is commanded or forbidden by one who has the authority. So, number one, and at the top of the chain of command, is the Lord God Almighty. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32, it says, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you." That's calling us to obedience. When God gives a command, we say, okay, and we do it. It says, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." Don't say, "God, I have a better idea." But I see a lot of people today who have a better idea. I was recently talking with a friend again, and a friend had a better idea. I told him what God's word said, and that friend had a better idea. I want to tell you something. There aren't better ideas than God's ideas. He's the one who is the authority. Not only is he the authority, but he's the authority of authorities. The Bible calls him the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I like what the preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he tried everything under the sun. He experienced a lot of things. And this was his conclusion. This was his conclusion after going through. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes and you see all those things and you want to get a handle on the book of Ecclesiastes, now is a good time to get a handle on the book of Ecclesiastes because guess which assistant pastor is dealing with Ecclesiastes in Sunday school. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. A lot of people don't have a handle on Ecclesiastes. If you want a handle on Ecclesiastes, it's a great book. It's a great book. It's a little bit difficult to understand, but Pastor Darrow is going to share with you the book of Ecclesiastes. So, you know, avoid the Easter rush. Attend Sunday school now. Get involved in it. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon adds it all up. He's experimented here. He's tried this. He's done that. And he says, here is the bottom line. This is how it sifts out. Fear God and keep His commandments. You know what the word keep is? It's the Hebrew word that means to watch over in the sense of seeing that you observe and obey them. That's the Hebrew word. Keep. Watch over in the sense that you observe and obey Him. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I say, oh, preacher, you know, you're dealing in the Old Testament. Yeah. The Old Testament is there for our learning. The Apostle Paul says that we can look into it. We can study. So let's turn to the New Testament then. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, talking about obeying God and obeying God's word. And here it is in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. And it's a very important passage of Scripture, as the Apostle Paul here is talking about not letting sin reign in our life. It says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. That's past tense. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. They obeyed the gospel. They believed the gospel. They followed the word of God. So, at the top of the chain of command, I don't care if it's the Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America, there's somebody more supreme than he is. I don't care if it's the President of the United States, the President, I don't know if Canada has a President, the head of Parliament in Britain, the Queen, you name it, whether they want to admit it or whether they not, whether they don't want to, God is at the top of the chain of command and He will be obeyed. Now, moving on, and don't get all uptight here. I'm going to explain things, but Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. And you're going to hang on with me till I get through this message, please. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So let's look at the word subject. If you have your Strong's Concordance, you'd find it means to subordinate. It means to submit to one's control. So it says, let every soul submit to one's control or unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Do you know what? Even King Nebuchadnezzar was under God's control. You understand that? And he was a sovereign. Even Pharaoh in Egypt, he didn't want to admit it, but he was under God's command because God can move unsaved leaders' hearts just like he can move saved leaders' hearts. There's no short or lack in power. But what I'm saying is, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? It says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Now I'm going to tell you something here. It says, he beareth not the sword in vain. You know what that is? That's capital punishment. That's capital punishment. That the sword was used for capital punishment in that time. It says, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. You say, well, what do you do when the government does bad? Well, we're going to come to that. There's a higher authority than the government. Who's the higher authority than the government? God's the higher authority in the government. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, I've got to get to Titus. It was in Timothy. Titus 3:1, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 13. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 13, we read this: submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors or unto as unto them that are sent by him to punish evildoers and for praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I certainly want to tell you something. I don't agree with a number of the things that the liberals are promoting and putting upon us and all that sort of thing. But I do know this. The Bible says, render unto Caesar what Caesar's. You know what? On April 15th, I'm going to pay my taxes. Am I going to be happy about it? No, I'm not going to be happy about it at all. I wish they were lower. They're probably going to go higher. But you know what? You know whose picture's on the money? It isn't the Lord Jesus Christ. The last time I looked, there's George Washington. Last time I looked, there's Jackson. Last time I looked, you know, whatever. My whole point is that we need to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Now, if I am told by the government, and we'll come there in a minute, if I'm told by the government to do something that is clearly unbiblical, you know what? I have a higher authority. And you know who I'm going to obey? You know, I'm going to obey the Lord. Now, if, for instance, you know that I am stopped at a traffic stop, I am not going to do like a friend of mine did in high school. A friend of mine thought he was really hot stuff. He was going over 100 miles an hour on the divided highway in our town, and the policeman stopped him, and he thought he was going to be a big smart aleck. And so when the policeman comes with his pad, he rolls down his windows and said, I'll take two hamburgers and a Coke. And you know what? They arrested him for reckless driving, and they should have, and his license was suspended. Now, you see, that's not obedience to authority. Even if I wasn't speeding, if I am stopped, I am not going to be cocky. I'm not going to refuse to do what I'll prove my innocence later. But my whole point is that today, there's a lot of people, and even within the Christian community, I don't agree politically with a lot of what's going on, but you know what? We have a duty, unless it is against God, clearly against God, we clearly have the obligation to obey those that are in authority, because that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, I will never endorse abortion, and I will counsel people not to have abortions. But by the same token, I'll tell you what. I am never going to do harm to an abortion clinic or an abortion doctor or anything else, because that is not my responsibility. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I will speak out against it. I will speak what the Bible has to say. And even though in our land there is becoming an acceptance of homosexuality and so on and so forth, I will preach what the Bible says because the Bible says it. Even if it becomes a hate crime to do it, why? Because God is the higher authority. But they haven't forbidden that, or at this point, I don't agree with it, or any of that sort of things, but I'm not going to hold back my taxes. You don't think that there was a lot of things going on in Rome that Jesus didn't dislike? When he told people, you know, render unto Caesar? There was all kinds of things going on in Roman government that weren't biblical and that God wasn't approving of. I parked there long enough, but we are to obey governmental authorities. And you might think that I'm completely playing marbles and lost mine, but I want to explain. Parishioners are to obey their pastors. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 through 17. It says, remember them which have rule over you, and that's Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Not my opinion. My opinion is my opinion. But the Word of God, when a preacher preaches the Word of God, you know what you ought to do? You ought to obey it. It says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversion. Now, verse 17, slip down there. Obey them. And that word obey, you look it up. Listen to and obey. Obey them that rule over you. It means to lead, to rule, to command, to have authority over. It says, and submit. The word submit means to yield, to submit, to cease to fight, to surrender yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, I'm not talking about being a diabolical dictator. I have certain opinions you may not agree with, but when I get up here and preach the Word of God, when Pastor Darrell preaches the Word of God, when we give you counsel that's clearly biblical from the Word of God, you know what you ought to do? You ought to obey it. You ought to obey it. Now, naturally, if any pastor tells you to do something that's wrong, you know what you do? You don't do it. Because there's a higher authority. Who's the higher authority? The Lord God Almighty is the higher authority. And today, people scoff at that. Now, husbands, I'm going to hit you. Husband, you are to obey Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head, and the word head there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the head means the leader, the chief, the person in authority, superior over or superior in rank. The head of every man is what? Christ. Men, you ought to be obeying Christ. Husbands, you ought to be loving your wives. That's what the Word of God says. You ought to be the spiritual leader in your family. That's what the Word of God says. It says, and the head, and that's the same word as we just looked at, of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. It lays out a chain of command. So let's move on now from that. I'm just going to park there. I'm going to just back up and put it in reverse just a minute. Men, you need to be spiritually leading and guiding your family. You need to be leading your family in prayer. You need to be with your family, directing them and getting them into the Word of God. That is not your wife's duty. The problem is there probably would be no spiritual life in a lot of families if it wasn't for a godly woman trying to get it into the heads of the kids. And that shouldn't be. You know, you need to cut the lace off your trousers and start being the spiritual leader in the family and to be the loving leader that you should be. And there's so many men that I know, and I'm not trying to poke at you. I'm just trying. This is a job. This is something you need to do. There's so many men who won't even lead their families in prayer. They won't even pray with their wives. Now, wait just a minute. Time out. Do you think when you stand before God, you're going to be able to say, well, I was a little bit bashful. My wife could pray better than I could. You know what? I don't think that's going to cut water a bit. You know, I told a man one time, if you have to stutter, stutter, but lead in prayer. If you have to pray three sentences, pray three sentences in prayer. If you murder the King's English, well, then murder the King's English in prayer. If you don't know the proper form, well, pray in the improper form. Just be reverent to God. It's way past the time in Bible-believing churches where women should have to assume that role. It's a good thing that some of the women do assume the role, because otherwise at home there would be no spiritual input at all. But it is the job of the men. They need to do that. The head of the men is Christ, and Christ appoints them to be the spiritual leader in the family. And boy, you should do it. Don't send your kids to church. Now I'm talking to the choir because the men are here. Don't send your kids to church. Take them to church. You know? All right, let's, now I can put it in forward and move forward. A wife is to obey her husband. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, there's no place in the entire New Testament that says the wife has to obey her husband. Well, I don't know what he was reading from. But anyway, it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, that they may teach the younger women to be sober or self-controlled, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. The word obedient means to be subordinate, to submit to one's control, to obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm not talking about literally. It speaks for itself. It speaks to itself. I'm talking about literally, and I was going to say something and thought better of it, but what it means is to subordinate, to submit to one's control, to their own husband. And because if they don't, God's word is blasphemed. God's word is blasphemed. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit. And, interestingly enough, it is the same word that you saw obedient there. It's translated submit here. It says, wives, submit, to subordinate, to submit to one's control, yourselves to your own husband, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now let's go to the children. Children are to obey their parents. Ephesians 6:1, children obey, and that means listen to and obey your parents, for this is right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, children, obey, same word, listen and obey, your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, this is something that is very sobering. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despise to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. Now this is talking about rebellion. When a young person rebels against his father and mother, they become prey for the forces of darkness. I believe that that's what's being talked about here. Children are to obey their parents. Well, let's move on. Soldiers are to obey those in command. I like what we read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, for the centurion said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I mean, obedience was just expected. The centurion was the authority. He had authorities over him. When his authority said, do it, he did it. When he said to his soldiers that were under him, do it, they did it. by way of application, an apprentice is to obey the journeyman. The employee is to obey his employer. The student is to obey his teacher. And you could take it on and on and on. Obeying those in authority is a clearly established principle in the Bible. There's a chain of command. Those in authority are to be obeyed every time, in every circumstance. But now let me come to this. What about the defiance of obedience? Is there time to say no to an authority? And yes, there is. Because who is the highest authority of all? God and God's word. So if an under authority says something that is not right or is sinful according to the over authority, you would not obey it. Why? Because there is a higher authority, God and his word. Passage of scripture that clearly indicates that, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. We're going to go back a few verses before that. Acts chapter 5 and in verse 29, but going back up, here's what is being accused of the apostles. It says in verse 20, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name, in the name of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to put this man, Jesus' blood, upon us. And then Peter gives the answer. Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey what? God rather than man. They had the great commission given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And these people said, and they were the magistrates, they were the head people in that town. They said, we told you not to speak in his name. Now, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ says, do it. And the lesser authority says, don't do it. So who do you obey? Well, you obey the greater authority, which is God. an example could be seen in the government of Nebuchadnezzar. He built a golden image of himself, a golden god of himself, 100 feet tall or a little bit more in the plain of Dura. And he made a decree that everybody was to bow down to the image, and those who weren't going to bow down were going to get toasted. They were going to get thrown into the brick kiln. They were going to get burned. And the three Hebrews refused to follow the king's command. There are several questions that I want to answer in relationship. First, as an earthly sovereign, did the king have the right to make the laws? The answer is yes. The second question is, was he the authority over the three Hebrews? The answer is yes. The third question is, since they were commanded by their authority to bow down to the image, shouldn't they have obeyed the king's command? The answer is no, because they were three Hebrew children and they happened to know Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, which says in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. You shouldn't bow down to graven images. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything in the heaven above or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I just want to say this. The authority of the triune God trumps all other authority. Trumps all other authority. You will recall that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. And while I certainly think it's important for parents to teach their children to obey, and while I certainly think it's important for obeying civil authorities, and I certainly think it's important for wives to obey their husbands, I also want you to make sure that you warn your children that if someone asks them to do something that the Bible says is wrong, that they shouldn't do it. Now, let me just take it to you. Through the years, I've had to deal with children who have been molested by relatives or neighbors or whatever. Little children are prey because if they've been raised right, they've been taught to obey. But when they're asked to do something that they shouldn't do, when they're asked to get into a stranger's car, they shouldn't obey the stranger, even if the stranger is older than them, because there's an authority that trumps other authorities. Something could happen to them. And so in teaching obedience, we need to teach as well that there are times where, when it's against God's word, when it endangers life and limb, that there is a time not to obey as well. But I do want to bring the application and close it, and then we'll talk about obedience again another time soon. As citizens, we are to obey civil authorities. As parishioners, we are to obey pastoral authority. As a wife, you are to obey your husband's authority. As underage children, you are to obey parental authority. Military personnel are to obey commanding authority. Obedience is required unless it is clearly against the teachings and the principles of God's word, and unless you are asked to sin, in which case you obey God, who is the ultimate authority, instead of the lesser authority. The problem in our culture today is when I was dealing with a young person several years back, I told them to do something, and the answer was, no, I don't feel like it. And I had the authority to ask them to do that. No, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel like, because if it isn't sin, and if it's not against the Word of God and God Himself, obedience is doing what is commanded or not doing what is forbidden because it is commanded or forbidden by the one who has the authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A lot of kids are bucking their parents these days. You know what? God gave you those parents. And unless your parents ask you to sin or go against God, you ought to do what your parents say, even if you don't understand it. Take the garbage out. Oh, but I was playing with Susie. No. Next week, or whenever we get to this, we're going to be looking at the principles of obedience. Obedience is doing what is commanded because it is commanded, even though you're not in the mood or it's not convenient. And we'll talk to you about that next week. Let's pray.